Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
Been with us the last couple of weeks know that God has us in this place, and we're dealing with a theme relative to revelations in these churches, and we're calling it realignment for impact. The messages that God is directing us with is really designed for believers, and we here at Word Alive Church, where we're in what I call a perfecting vineyard of grace. You come to church for perfecting. You don't come to church because you're perfect. You come to church because you are being perfected. That means you are maturing. You're growing up in the things of God. These messages in Revelation that Jesus speaks to these churches, after every church, Jesus would say something like this: let him that have ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. So today, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to look at a church that's in this city called Thyatira. We know that this is Jesus speaking to these churches, and he's giving them his counsel in correction. When I looked at these particular churches, I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, what is the subject? What's happening here with this particular church? And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me with this church, and I'm going to show you why. Because when Jesus began to talk to each one of these churches, the first thing he does is he introduces himself. When he talked to the church of Ephesus, he introduced himself as the one who had the seven stars in his hand and walking among the seven lampstands. When he talked to the church of Smyrna, he introduced himself a certain way. So the introduction is very important when you study these churches, because Jesus introduces himself a certain way for a reason. So what I want to put a subtopic on today with this particular church is what I call authentic authority. Authentic authority. Most of us grew up in the body of Christ with this word, the believer's authority, and sometimes Christians became arrogant with that and they didn't know how to exercise that authority in love. But authentic authority is different than just having authority, because anybody can have authority. I want to put a definition so we can have clarity on what I mean by that. It is the position of influence God provides those who exalts his word above the ways of the world and the cunningness of others. Notice that. God provides this authority. And this authority is given to those who take the word of God and exalts God's word above the ways of this world and the cunningness of others. The church in Thyatira in this particular city was on point in their witness of faithfulness to God's assignment. Matter of fact, if you look in the verse there, 19, this church had it going on as far as their service. They were active for God, and their activity was fueled by love, by faith, and patience. And Jesus commends them because they are an active church. And they're not just working for the Lord as some people do. They are working for God out of a spirit of love, out of faith and patience. How many know you could be doing something for God, but there's no love in it? You could be the most busy person in the church, but get this, there's no patience. So these particular Christians are actively serving God, motivated by love, faith, and patience. You want to make sure that whatever you're doing for God, you're doing it by love. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know I'm doing it by love? What's your attitude? What's your conversation? Are you complaining? Get this now. Are you looking for a way not to do something right? You know how many know people can do the right thing the wrong way. They were active. They were involved. Well, however, Satan was able to use a spirit of subtlety to influence them to disregard God's order and ordained authority. That's how the enemy got in. They were actively involved. They were doing the work of God. But Satan came in and cunningly began to cause them to disregard God's order and God's ordained authority. This spirit positioned itself in a place of deceptive influence by operating with authority, but not authentic authority. I want to give us some things from the text here. The Bible says, the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. You see how he introduces himself? The first thing I notice in this particular case is authentic authority reflects the character and courage of Jesus. Remember I said it's important to know how he introduces himself to each church. So here Jesus says, I am the Son of God. But he goes on to say, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. This description of Christ having eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass suggests this. Son of God speaks of his authority, but out of his authority flows an anointing of discernment and purity. So when he uses this thing about eyes like flames of fire, what Jesus is saying, I am the one with authority who have divine discernment. I can see what others don't see. Discernment is not witchcraft. Discernment is when God reveals to you what is covered up on the inside of a person. The Bible says one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of discernment. Whenever God has genuine gift for the church, Satan always comes with a counterfeit. He can't produce the real thing. So what happens in the church, what people call discernment, a lot of time is gossip. Discernment is not external. You can't look at someone at what they have on or how they're dressed and discern something. Discerning is a discerning of spirits, not people. See, what happens in the church, we judge people based on how they dress, how they look. We just need to face reality. Fast change over time. For hairstyles that the young guys are wearing now, I wouldn't want to wear them, but that's because I'm not in their generation. And perhaps when I had my afro and my cornrows, maybe somebody looked at me then and said, boy, that's too much hair on your head. Somebody remember those days. Then what you grab this. I am the Son of God. My eyes are like blazing fire. And then he talks about his feet like fine brass. He's talking about purity. Say purity. In other words, with authentic authority, we reflect the character and the courage of Jesus Christ. We're not afraid when we operate with authentic authority. Get this. We're not afraid to address issues in the church where people may get mad and leave when we operate with authentic authority. It's how you address people. Hallelujah. When the church operates with authentic authority, it places the mission of God above the mindset of carnality and the craftiness of others. In the military, a lot of times when people are conducting themselves a certain way, and a lot of times the military get to the point where they're going to decide whether they're going to keep putting up with your behavior or they're going to focus on the mission of the organization. And trust me, the mission comes before the person. They have a mission to accomplish. And if you're creating problems, if you're not doing what you need to do, they will work with you. And eventually, they're going to try to get you out of the way. Why? Because you are disrupting the mission. Well, how many know God has a mission for every church? And just because you put missionary on it doesn't mean that you're carrying out God's mission. God has a purpose for every church. And people don't understand that when they don't understand vision and they get caught up in the carnality and all kinds of other things that distract them from the mission. Jesus, as well as the Apostle Paul, so vividly displays this kind of authentic authority with one of their own, Peter, who often had a problem with getting caught up in a self-serving, compromising spirit. He was a great apostle, but when we study Peter's life, Peter had a tendency, as folks say, to flip on you. See, the Bible gives us real people with real problems, and yet God used it. And so Jesus had to use authentic authority with Peter, and Paul had to use authentic authority with Peter. And so when we look at Matthew 16, 21 and 23, let me show you what this looked like in Jesus's case. The Bible says from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." This is Jesus talking to one of his inner circle guys, and he used authentic authority to do what? To correct him. We could say this, Jesus corrected his best friend. And a lot of times the reason people in the church can't correct people is because they are my friend. Peter was Jesus' right-hand man. And yet Jesus looks him directly in the eye and tells him, "Get behind me, Satan." He wasn't talking to Peter personally. He was talking to the spirit that was influencing Peter. He discerned that the spirit that was influencing Peter was not the Holy Ghost. It was the spirit of Satan. And so Jesus, he wasn't trying to pacify Peter. He wasn't sitting there, "Well, I don't want Peter to get mad, but I'm going to go ahead and try to ease it in." I mean, some people got a problem with trying being direct with people, and they beat around the bush hoping they're going to get it. Anybody ever been like that? Husband and wife like that sometimes. "I'll just talk around it." And you've been talking around it for 20 years, and they haven't gotten it yet. And then when you meet somebody direct, you can't handle it. They just too hard. I like direct people. You know exactly where they stand. You ain't got to try to figure them out. Then we justify, "Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings." No, Jesus was being genuine. He wasn't hating on Peter. He wasn't putting Peter down. I mean, that's how some people think when you correct them. "You always got to put me down." I'm not putting you down. I'm trying to pick you up. Jesus, you don't have your mind on the things of God. You're concerned about yourself. Jesus said, "You selfish, Peter." Listen what happened to Peter with the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about authentic authority. The Bible says in Galatians 2, 11 and 13, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face." Let me say that again. I withstood him to his face. He didn't say I talked about him behind his back. He said what? I came to his face. I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. "For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas were carried away with this hypocrisy." Notice they played the role of a hypocrite. He acted one way with this crowd, and he acted another way with this crowd. So when both crowds show up, how many know his color's going to be shown? Because you've got to make a decision. Hallelujah. And that's how some people are in the church. They're not genuine. They talk out to both sides of their neck. And then all of a sudden, the two people that they're talking with, when they're all in the same room, how many know the true colors got to show up? Well, how many know Peter's true colors showed up? And Paul goes to him in his face. He rebukes him. You know what that means? He told him exactly what he was operating in a hypocritical way. He said, when you are with the Gentiles and there are no Jews around, you fellowship with them. But when your Jewish brothers show up and you know that Jews should not be having dinner with Gentiles, should not be sitting at the table with Gentiles, you have nothing to do with the Gentile because the pressure from your Jewish brothers. See, authentic authority is not rude or disorderly. It's when those authorized to act or react in the church doesn't allow a spirit of cowardness to cause them to become intimidated by a person or personality in the church. That's why I love it here at Word Alive. We don't have big I's and little U's in our church. We believe everybody is on equal landing in our church. Whether you got a PhD or a prison record, you get the same respect and value in our church. Because if they're not born again, it doesn't matter what their status is out there in the world. When we come in the family of God, we want everybody to recognize you got to bow down to the feet of Jesus. You got to come through the same door we came through. Jesus said, "I am the door. And no man can enter the sheepfold unless he come through the door." You don't get no special door in God's kingdom. You walk through the same door everybody else. Sometime when you're dealing with what this church had to deal with and what they refuse to deal with, is that's why they got corrected, is that you don't have to always confront people, but you got to know how to mark them. Hallelujah. What do you mean mark them? I'm not talking about emulate them or act like them. Growing up, how many of we use that word? When we're in the car driving and all of a sudden our brother and sister start what we call picking at us. Do they still say that now? Or we say they mocking me. I mean, if you crying, they acting like they crying too and you ready to fight them, right? No. In Romans 16, 17 through 18, Paul shows us exactly what it means to mock those within the fellowship, because sometimes you got to mock people. Why? Because that spirit of influence. So Paul says this, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them." Listen. He used the word keep your eyes on. Another translation says mock them. In other words, you got to watch them, because this person is not in the fold to help the body carry out the mission. This person is in the fold, get this now, to divide the sheep. I want to let you know, wolves do hang around sheep. And not only do wolves hang around sheep, goats hang around sheep. Jesus said that goats and sheep will be together. He tell the spiritual guys, let them stay together. But when I come, I'm going to separate the goats from the sheep. You don't have to run goats from a church. Jesus is going to separate goats from sheep when he get here. So the Bible says you got to keep your eyes on those who create decisions. And get this, they create hindrances. And the Bible not only say that you got to keep your eye on them, the Bible say you got to turn away from them. See, what's wrong with the church is that too many people don't know what it means to be able to love people without accommodating people. You can love people without accommodating people. And so they think love means you got to always be up in my Kool-Aid. No, that ain't love. Get this. You can love folk and notice that God is telling you stay away from them. We get love mixed up in the church. And when people do certain things, folks say, well, you're supposed to love. Supposed to correct too. You're supposed to rebuke too. You're supposed to mock too. You're supposed to stay away from too. So the Bible say, Paul said, not only keep your eye on them, but make sure you turn away from them, for such men, get this, are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. The ones who don't know how to discern. The ones who don't have spiritual inspection going on in their life. They can deceive the hearts of them. We're talking about authentic authority here. Because in this church, even though they were faithful, serving God in love and faith and patience, what they lacked was authentic authority. And Jesus comes not only to counsel them, but Jesus comes to correct them. Which takes us to the next one. Authentic authority carry out ministry tasks with a true testimony. After Jesus identifies himself in verse 18, he said, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Notice, you didn't get old and stop working. As you grew, you begin to do more works. How many know when it comes to God's work, some people are looking at how I can do less. And some people are praying, God, how can I do more? Jesus said that these particular Christians, as for your works, the last are more. In other words, you are doing more for God than you've ever done in your life. Especially when some of us get into what we call retirement and we got more time on our hand. How many know that's a great time to say, God, how can I do more for the kingdom? That's a great time to begin to pray for God to give you direction in your life rather than think, how can I get more money? See, you can run out the money and you'll never be satisfied. The Bible even said, a greedy eye is never satisfied. But if you begin to honor God, God will let money come after you. God will make sure you have what you need to do what you need to get done for his glory. That's why you don't have to go to a prosperity gospel and preach money, money, money. Why? Everybody in the church, that's all they're going to run after, money. Oh, everybody going to run after, what I'm going to get next, what I'm going to get next. But nobody is running after God. Only those who serve God with a pure heart, James 1:27, and a grateful heart, Luke 7:47, will keep on serving even when the going gets tough and even when everyone stops serving. When you're serving God with a pure and a grateful heart, it doesn't matter who quit. It doesn't matter who get out of line. Well, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at Christ. Hallelujah. These believers in Thyatira were involved in sacrificial ministry for the sake of others. Their works were increasing and characterized by faith, love, and patience. Therefore, the church did not produce selfish, self-serving saints whose motivation is always, what's in it for me or what can I get from it? How many know that's the spirit of the world? When they get ready to do something, what's in it for me? When you are serving, you are serving as unto the Lord. The Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. This is the last one. Authentic authority follows the witness of the word and not the world. In verse 19, everything seemed fine. But in verse 20, Jesus has to finish the conversation. And so now Jesus comes in verse 20. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow. Now, I underline that word in my Bible because that's very important. Because that tells me this, that whatever is going on in the church, you had authority to deal with it, but you didn't use your authority. You allowed it. He said, you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am him who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to what? Your works. The reality of the church is that Satan is forever looking for opportunity to plant and promote his influence and spirit in order to shift the church from God's agenda to the agenda of self-promoting and self-serving spirits of influence. Here in Thyatira, it was a woman who Jesus identifies with Jezebel's, whose reputation was very familiar with this audience. Her name was not Jezebel. So this name is a symbol of the spirit of influence and compromise. I just want you to listen quickly to some things about Jezebel in the Old Testament. The Bible said at this time, the extremely wicked ruler Ahab. Now, Ahab married Jezebel, who did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, I want you to get this. Now, he was already an evil man. But when you get two evils together, how many know that's a double evil? Who did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him, and his ruthless Zidonian spouse, Jezebel, began their terrifying rule over the northern kingdom of Israel. This wicked pair, how many know both of them was wicked? This wicked pair was responsible for leading God's people deeper still into unfathomable apostasy. In response to the deeds of this evil couple, God raised up a prophet, Elijah the Tishbite. I thought about this. When there's a Jezebel spirit, it operates with authority, but it's not authentic. God raised someone up with authentic authority to deal with it. Hallelujah. I had a preacher one time, he was passing this church. He was telling me all the stuff going on and the spirits in there. I said to him, God raised you up for that. If God raised you up, he know that you have the anointing to deal with those kinds of spirits. And so you as a believer, when the enemy tries to come against you, you got to realize God has raised you up to deal with them kind of demons. Hallelujah. You say, well, this is coming against me. That is coming against me. That's because God's anointed you to deal with them. Oh, yeah, you just got to get a revelation that, get this now, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I'm anointed for this kind of spirit. Sometimes people, I just want everything to be nice and lovely. Well, you need to go on to heaven, because the reality is the world we live in is a wicked world, and we're going to have to fight spiritual warfare until Jesus comes, and I mean, no, we are armed for the battle. I say we are armed for the battle. So God raised up Elijah just for what? Jezebel. He anointed Elijah just to deal with what? Jezebel's spirit. So Elijah tells them, all the prophets, to meet him on Mount Carmel and told him, come on, Lord, we're going to see whose God's real. We're going to see whose God going to send down fire from heaven. Those prophets were crying out to Baal. Oh, man, they start cutting themselves. Elijah laughed at them. Then when he got ready to show the power of God, he said, look, put water all down in the trenches. I want to let them know that when it happened, can't nobody get the glory but God. That's how God works in your life, right? That when things happen in your life, can't nobody get the glory but God. Hallelujah. You don't go say, well, you know, I come from a good family. Well, somebody left me inheritance. God gets the glory for your success. God gets the glory for your prosperity. I'm telling you right now, whatever you're going through, God has raised you up for that. Whatever attack is coming against your life, God has raised you up for that. Hallelujah. You remember the days you cried out to God, God, I want more of you. God, I want to do more for you. All of a sudden, he said, okay, he let the enemy come in. But get this, he'll lift up a standard against you. He'll come against you, but he won't prevail over you. The Bible says in 1 Kings 19, 1 and 2, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, may the gods deal with me, but be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. In other words, Jezebel said, I'm going to get Elijah. But she didn't realize God raised him up for her to deal with that spirit of influence and compromise. He raised him up for that. I like to hear the end of a story. The end of Jezebel's life ended like this. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to wickedness, to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. Those of us who are married, we got to make sure we ain't being stirred up the wrong way. He was already evil now, but she stirred him up. She influenced him. Stir him up means she provoked him to do more evil. And the church of Thyatira, God confronts the church as well as this woman who operated with this cunning spirit of influence. But she first had to position herself with false authority. The church is rebuked for allowing her to do so, and she is rebuked for doing so. You see, God's mercy provides her and those under her influence a door. The Bible says, God said, I gave her time to repent of a sexual immorality, and she did not repent. I mean, that's the mercy of God. God gave her time to get it right. Get this now. But what is powerful is verse 24, and I'm closing here. He said, now unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have, everybody didn't join her ministry. Everybody didn't go after her influence. Because the text says that God say, and the rest in Thyatira, and as many as do not have this doctrine, what? The doctrine of Jezebel. Everybody didn't go with that. Who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say. He said, I'm going to put on you no other burden. In other words, you're not going to get the same judgment that they're going to get. He said, behold, but hold fast to what you have till I come. You know what Jesus is saying? You all that did not allow that spirit of influence to come in your life, you keep remaining faithful. I'm coming to you. And he who overcomes and keep my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nation. You know what he's saying? I'm going to give you true authority. You are going to influence people of all nationalities. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel, as I also have received from my father. And get this now. And I will give him the morning star. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit speaks.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. Located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.